You're doing fine. Richard's good, aren't you?
No, I just wanted to put my, can I put my bag down? She says.
1 minute.
No, she gave me the finger.
No, no, it's a finger, it's an index.
15 today.
Okay. I'm gonna open the House Committee on Rural Communities Land Use and Water. Want to welcome Senator Hansel, who's joining us today. Little bicameral love over here, I like that. You know, my wife works over there, be nice to her, please.
I always am.
Oh, okay. And why don't I open our Spotted Frog litigation update and ask, we've got four seats, ask Kevin Richards, Mike Weber, Lauren Smith, and Commissioner Fording to join us.
Mr. Chairman, as they're coming forward, I'll just indicate this is a crazy time of the session. Some of us will have scheduling conflicts during the morning and maybe moving in and out. I hope nobody takes that as disrespectful of the information they're sharing with us today.
Before you start, Senator, would you like to say anything before we get going?
No, just thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the opportunity to have this hearing. Came to my attention, some very significant impacts could occur over this litigation. And I was concerned also that it appeared that there was a process well underway to make collaborative community efforts. And a group has pulled out and sued rather than continue with the process that maybe have come to a conclusion. And that bothers me too. It's not the Oregon way. So thank you very much for having the opportunity here and for inviting me to be a part.
Oh, of course, our pleasure. All right, who's starting us off? Kevin?
Yes, please. Chairman, Senator, members of the committee, thank you very much for making time for us. I know this is a very busy session for you, and I've, of course, submitted written comments, testimony for the record, and so I'll try to paraphrase those and be brief to be respectful of your time and also make sure to allow time for the rest of the testimony. My name is Kevin Richards. I farm in Jefferson County. I was raised on a family farm in Jefferson County. My wife and I, just about 3 years ago, returned to the family farm to raise our children and enjoy the lifestyle that Central Oregon has to offer in its rural communities and on the farm. And my comments today are my own, but I hope they also are representative of the fear and the frustration in our community. And I hope that the audience behind me helps to demonstrate that. There's many community members and farmers who made the drive over the mountain this morning to be present and also show their support for the community effort and for irrigated agriculture and the collaborative conservation that has been going on for some time despite this recent lawsuit. As you are probably well aware, the Oregon spotted frog was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 2014. And despite a long history of progress to save water and preserve the ecology of the Deschutes River, two environmental groups, the Center for Biological Diversity and Water Watch of Oregon, threatened and then subsequently filed lawsuits this winter that name as defendants the Bureau of Reclamation and three Central Oregon Irrigation Districts, COID, Central Oregon Irrigation District, Tumalo Irrigation District, and North Unit Irrigation District, where I farm and where many of the farmers behind me also have their family farms and operations. So that lawsuit, the express intent of the lawsuit is to protect the habitat and restore habitat for the Oregon spotted frog. Unfortunately, don't believe that that is the unintended consequences of that lawsuit are quite serious, and it's unlikely to even protect the frog. And so, most notably, in the last week, the plaintiffs in the suit filed for preliminary injunction, and essentially what they're asking for would halt operations of irrigation reservoirs in the Upper Deschutes. And that's where the irrigation districts, and especially North Unit Irrigation District, where they rely on being able to store water and then supply farmers in throughout Central Oregon, but in Jefferson County and North Unit. What these environmental groups are asking is significant, dramatic changes to the way those reservoirs are being operated to effectively stop the storage and supply of water to the irrigation districts. Obviously, if that were the case.
One quick sec, Vice Chair Post has a question.
The only reason I want to interrupt you, sure. For myself and perhaps anybody watching, maybe anybody in the audience, could you just quick, where you said this would happen, tell
yes.
me maybe the communities or the areas described maybe on, like on a map so that I can picture that in my brain?
Certainly. So the main habitat that we're referring to is the Upper Deschutes. So that is Crescent Lake, Crane Prairie, Wickiup, and downstream to Bend. And so that's the source of irrigation water that's then supplied throughout Central Oregon. So there, in total, in the Crooked River and Deschutes Basin, there's 8 irrigation districts that work collaboratively on conservation efforts. The 3 directly impacted by this lawsuit is our Tumalo Irrigation District, which of course is in Deschutes County outside of Bend, Central Oregon Irrigation District, which is the largest and operates, delivers water throughout Deschutes County and in some neighboring counties to a small extent, and then North Unit Irrigation District, which is north in Jefferson County.
Madras.
In Madras,
okay.
That's right.
Right.
Madras, Culver, Metolius area.
Okay,
that's
thank
right.
you.
So what they're asking for would essentially halt operations of those reservoirs and prevent us from continuing to farm. As you know, the high desert region is ideal climate and geography for growing many high-value crops, but those crops can't grow without water. We don't get much rainfall, and so we really rely on irrigated agriculture, and it's the development of these reservoirs and the irrigation infrastructure, which has allowed Central Oregon to develop and blossom into the communities and the landscape that it is today. And so not only are what they're asking for, what the lawsuits are asking for, potentially devastating for our communities, but what is underappreciated is how even just small reductions in the amount of water that's available can have dramatic impacts on our communities. We're recovering from 2 years of drought, and it would be easy to think, well, farms can scale back their operations 10, 20, maybe 30% and still survive. And unfortunately, that's just not the way the agriculture business climate works. We still have fixed costs associated with water and land, even if we're unable to farm it. So mortgage payments, rental payments, water fees, not to mention the amount of effort and expense that goes into preserving the environment and the soil on ground that you're not productively farming. And so even just slight or moderate changes in water availability can really have dramatic impacts on the viability of family farm operations and then rippling effects on the environment where those farms are located, and of course in the employment and the agribusiness and the community impact downstream as well. That's a very real risk that we face. Farmers are used to dealing with risk. We have lots of weather and market-related risks that we deal with on a yearly and even daily basis. What's most frustrating and upsetting about these lawsuits is that, as the senator referenced, there's a very promising collaborative effort that has been underway for over a decade that involved all of the irrigation districts in the Deschutes and Crooked River basins working together to collaboratively reach out to other stakeholders, environmental groups, state and federal agencies, the Confederated Tribes, and really help partner to identify where water can be saved, where conservation measures can be implemented to benefit the habitat and the ecology for all species in the basin, while not jeopardizing the impact or not jeopardizing the viability of agriculture and our communities who rely on agriculture. And unfortunately, these lawsuits have really thrown that in the dustbin, and really are jeopardizing that effort going forward. Have put at risk the trust that's necessary for a lot of these groups to work together. What we're asking, obviously, the ESA is a federal statute, and soon it'll be in the hands of litigators and a federal judge. But what we really hope is just to make you all aware of how serious of an issue this is and how much promise there is outside of federal courts. I think that the work that has gone on, as I said, for over a decade, has the potential to be really held up as the model for how resource-dependent communities and industries can proactively address environmental concerns in a scientific way, in a way that strives for consensus and keeps the issue out of the courts, which really risks some of the devastating impacts and also risks fitting the wrong solution to the problem. And so that's why we're here today, is just to really make you aware and ask for your support in pursuing that broader collaborative effort that has so much promise. I don't want to tread on some of the other comments, but I'll just say that the impacts, even though the lawsuit hasn't reached federal court yet, the impacts are already being felt in our community. So a number of the farmers here today would rather be in their fields, but they have basically had to stall farming operations. You know, now's the time when we're getting ready to plant new crop. A lot of farmers are thinking that they might have to leave ground fallow just because of the uncertainty. Now's the time when we're investing in fertilizer and other inputs for our crops, and a lot of farmers are just not willing to take the risk to have that expense and then not have the water necessary to grow and harvest that crop. And I know Ag West, which is a equipment dealer that you probably are familiar with throughout Oregon, I know that they attribute a significant drop in sales simply due to the uncertainty that these lawsuits have created for farmers and ranchers. And for those of you who've spent some time in rural communities, you know that our schools, our social programs, our tax base is really just critically dependent on the health of the agriculture industry. And these lawsuits, even if they were to be gone tomorrow, are having a negative impact that will take some time to recover in our communities.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hansel.
In answer to Vice Chair Post's question, on the inside of this package is a map of the area, and the pink is the north unit. And pretty much all of that, as the testimony said, will lose water. And it gives you a view of that Central Oregon and the other districts as well.
So I'll be happy to pause my comments there and turn my time over to the other other individuals and answer any questions you might have.
Great, please.
Thank you again for taking the time to meet with us, and we appreciate that we have the opportunity to give you our perspective. I'm Mike Weber. I'm managing partner Central Oregon Seed in Madras. We've been in business since 1979 and have built with the farmers in Jefferson County and Central Oregon a worldwide reputation for producing the most reliable quality and quantity of carrot seed in the world, not just in the States, but in the world. Our market share is 40% of the world's need and 65% of domestic need. Our business brings in $31 million annually outside the area into the area in production opportunities with several seed crops to the farming community. Several other ag businesses add to that. The farmers in North Unit Irrigation District have become efficient, extremely efficient in their use of water. Almost all of the carrot fields grown for seed are irrigated using drip irrigation, and that has been a process through 10 years, but now close to 95% is drip irrigated. But if water is not available, then we will not be a reliable source for carrot seed production and, for that matter, any other crops. The health and wealth of these communities has been built on irrigated agriculture and hopefully will remain that way into the future. One might ask, could you do with less water? And I think Kevin brought that point up, that it isn't like we can just ratchet back 10 or 20%. There's an economic basis of land and water and cropping that makes farming potentially profitable. You know, the area has gone through some major droughts in the last 50 years. Irrigation districts and farmers, out of necessity, have become more efficient through these challenges, but droughts do end. The consequences of this litigation would take away virtually all of the stored irrigation water for use each and every year. The economic consequences are huge. Using the multiplier on ag products produced without adequate irrigation water, the farm gate losses to the area could run $250 million annually. These communities would be devastated, and without reliable water, the land becomes simply worthless. The sad thing is farmers and related businesses have been going about their work being productive and also supporting one another in many community activities. We have not done anything wrong. We have been good stewards of the land. Family farms with many generations continuing to work the land and produce a benefit to their communities in the greater area and world would be lost by the lawsuit actions of Water Watch and Center for Biological Diversity. In conclusion, the action sought by these environmental groups in their motion would result in the loss of 270,000 acre-feet of storage at the three reservoirs annually. WikiUp holds 200,000. If the court grants the environmental group's motion and grants the relief they have requested, over 6,000 family farms, ranches, and homes in five irrigation districts would be impacted immediately. Nearly 1,000 patrons in North Unit Irrigation District would face water shortages of 75% or higher this year. As Kevin has said, the districts are developing a collaborative science-based plan to benefit fish and wildlife species, including the Oregon spotted frog. This is the best form to sustain agriculture productivity and improve the environment. No court decision will ever result in a sustainable solution for the people of Madras, Culver, Redmond, Tumlo, or Bend. The state legislature, we would appreciate that you would embrace the collaborative science-based Deschutes Basin Habitat Conformation Plan. And finally, progress takes true commitment and time, and we are committed to that. What is the other side doing? Thank you.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lauren Smith. I'm a policy coordinator at Oregon Water Resources Congress, and I'd like to apologize on behalf of April and our districts. They weren't able to attend today because they are out of town at a Family Farm Alliance conference. OWRC is a nonprofit association representing irrigation districts, water control districts, improvement districts, drainage districts, and other governmental entities that deliver agricultural water supplies. The water stewards we represent operate complex water management systems, including water supply reservoirs, canals, pipelines, and hydropower production, and deliver water to roughly one-third of all irrigated land in the state. OWRC has been promoting the protection and use of water rights and the wise stewardship of water resources on behalf of agricultural water suppliers for over 100 years. OWRC was deeply disappointed by the news that Water Watch Oregon and the Center for Biological Diversity filed a preliminary injunction in federal court requesting the unprecedented reallocation of water supply that thousands of farms, families, and local communities in the Deschutes Basin rely upon. Additionally, the Oregon spotted frog litigation highlights everything that's wrong about how litigious groups can operate under the Endangered Species Act and puts collaborative conservation work around the state in jeopardy. Our executive director, April Snell, submitted written testimony on the record, and I'll let that speak for itself. But we would only like to reiterate that OWRC feels strongly that our focus and Oregon's focus should not be on choosing between a frog or a farmer. Rather, it should be on the livelihood and sustainability of Oregon's communities as a whole. Oregon needs to focus on empowering and encouraging collaborative conservation work that serves the dual purpose of healing our ecosystems, but also maintaining our healthy economies. So with that, I'm here to answer any questions that you have, or at least take them to who would be better able to answer them for you. So thank you.
Chairman Clem, members of the committee, Senator Hansel, I'm Commissioner Wayne Fording, Jefferson County, and I'd just like to kind of touch a little bit on the economic impacts that this litigation has on our county. Agriculture is the economic engine in Jefferson County. That's what everything else revolves around, and it doesn't matter if you're selling auto parts or ag parts or whatever it is. Agriculture is what we do. It makes up the biggest land mass of our county, and it's just an important person that you know, these farmers just work their rears off, and this lawsuit really jeopardizes the health of our communities. The other thing I'd like to talk about is the, and Kevin did touch on it already, is that we're already feeling economic impacts of this litigation with the ag community holding back. There's a lot of uncertainty, you know, nobody wants to, you know, purchase seed or crop material and plant crops if they don't know if they're going to have water or not. So we're already seeing that, and you know, Jefferson County's been doing better, starting to pull out. But now we've got this that's starting to slow things down again for us, you know. So we'd really appreciate the legislature's look at this this problem. I know it's it goes beyond the state level, but I think with you folks in your leadership positions and the people you deal with, whether you be on the environmental side or the irrigation side or just your constituencies in general, it's good that you're aware of this situation. And the other thing that Senator Hansel said well is, you know, to walk away from the table after all the work that's been done collaboratively to, you know, look at these water issues and try to find a solution, to just walk away. It's just not the Oregon way. And, you know, there are solutions to these problems, you know. Are they expensive? Yeah, very expensive. But, you know, with the right minds working on it, if we can find different ways to store water and keep more water in running down the river when it needs to, all that's going to benefit us in the future. So thanks for letting us come today and tell you about what we're facing.
Great. Any questions for this group? Vice Chair Helm.
Thank you all for coming and traveling over to see us today. I asked our chair whether he thought anybody from Bureau of Reclamation was in the room today, and I don't know if they are, but can you give us a little bit of an idea of where that federal agency stands in all of this?
I don't represent the Bureau of Reclamation, and there may be other people in the room that are more equipped to answer this question, but I'll give it a shot. In short, federal agencies, both the Bureau of Reclamation and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, have been very supportive, and the collaboration that we've been referencing, that the irrigation districts have led, has been shoulder to shoulder with federal agencies. And so the Bureau, of course, is a defendant in this lawsuit. The reservoirs are federal reservoirs. They've been very supportive in the ongoing collaborative process and are shoulder to shoulder with farmers and irrigation districts. And in fact, the habitat conservation plan that we've referenced is done in collaboration with the Bureau of Reclamation. But the Bureau of Reclamation, along with the Deschutes River Conservancy, has led with other stakeholders, including irrigation districts, the Confederated Tribe, and other environmental groups, the largest comprehensive study of the ecology in the basin, the Basin Study Working Group, to really investigate where the opportunities exist to save water and restore habitat, improve the health of the Upper Deschutes, without putting our communities and our economies in jeopardy. That's my best answer, although there may be some irrigation district representatives that could expand on that.
Yeah, follow up. I don't know if this is the right time to say this, but the chair has indicated that we may have an opportunity to hear from Water Watch and folks that are on the other side of this litigation. I really appreciate, Senator, you're bringing this to us. It's sort of a personal issue for me. You know that there have been fish kills on the lower Deschutes in the last couple of seasons. And the location of those fish kills is my childhood home, below Lava Island Falls on the Deschutes. And for my young adult life, I observed winter flows in that river to be very low every season. It seemed to be a sort of natural seasonal occurrence. But I never experienced a fish kill in all my years of tripping around as a kid on the river there. Something has changed. Something has changed in the climate. Something has changed in the management of the river. Something has changed in the attitude of the federal agency that's releasing the water. And so I'm very, very interested in this. And I'm very interested in your collaborative approach. I'm an attorney. I litigate from time to time, and I view litigation as a form of communication, and it typically means that someone feels like they're not being listened to. So I applaud you for your efforts to get everybody back to the table. I hope that the threat of litigation causes people to listen closer, better, and more openly. And I'll do my best as I can to encourage that process and help you through it.
Thank you for those remarks. If I can just respond just briefly. I appreciate those remarks. I would just add or emphasize that in my view, or representing myself personally, farmers don't profess to or aren't claiming that there aren't environmental and ecological problems that need to be solved in the Deschutes River Basin. I think most farmers would join me in agreeing that that's the case. What's most frustrating about this narrow lawsuit is that it's aimed at a particular target, and that's the Oregon spotted frog. And a potential court injunction could really jeopardize the efforts that have gone toward improving habitat for fish species, which is also a major concern in the Upper Deschutes. And so it's unfortunate, I think, that the single species focus of an ESA lawsuit neglects the total needs of the basin, the needs of other species, as well as the economic and social impacts. I'm hopeful that if we can get past this lawsuit, that the efforts that are underway can account for those multi-species needs as well as the economic issues.
Thank you.
As you continue to have discussions, I encourage you to include the tribes because they are amicus in this and they have interest in the fish species, as Kevin had pointed out, and so they might provide perspective on that as well.
Thank you. Representative McClain.
Thank you for coming. I represent Central Oregon. I live in Powell Butte. and I'm on the end of COID, and I view litigation different than Representative Helm. I'm a lawyer as well, and often it's used simply as a weapon, and it's a form of politics. And I hope that Representative Helm is correct, that there is a genuine desire by Water Watch to have a dialogue and to communicate. But I want to assure you, I have sincere doubts about that. And I, for one, am going to do everything I can to assist the irrigated agriculture community in fighting what I consider to be a weapon. And the ESA was supposed to be a shield. It's been turned into a sword. And we've seen it time and time and time again. And now you're in the sights. So Representative Huffman, your representative is here. I can surely speak for him as well as others, that we're going to do everything we can. We're going to urge the governor, the attorney general, whoever we need to do, to come to your assistance in advocating on behalf of Oregon interests. But unfortunately, because it is a federal issue and because the governor and I don't always agree, she may not deploy state resources on your behalf. But we're certainly going to ask. One thing's for sure, having dealt with Water Watch in the past on bills, if you can get them to articulate in a written form what their goal is, you would be well served, because then you have something that you can continue to remind them as perhaps time may alter their viewpoints, and because you don't want their goals to shift. And I am suspicious, frankly, of the lawsuit. Irrigated agriculture has been around longer than the American Republic, longer than Western civilization. It's been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So I understand that there is a collaboration, and we want to collaborate. But I, for one, am tired of seeing urban elitist interest cloaked in environmental language come in and attack farmers, loggers, rural folks on every front. And for some reason, there continues to be an acceptance by the state. You know, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, for turning this into a platform for my frustration, but as you personally know, I am very frustrated. I talked about this lawsuit at the Business Summit and others, and it just seems that here we go again. The never-changing, I should say, the ever-changing goal. And so I just hope, Mr. Chair, that this committee could be a place where they actually, we could force perhaps Water Watch in fact, I think you can subpoena them, can't you?
Okay. Yeah, they're invited. We just didn't give them much notice. Okay. If you don't mind, one comment. I have to step upstairs on something else, but the meeting will continue. Okay. I just have to step out. One thing I will say is this committee in the past, sometimes different members, sometimes this group, has helped, I would say, settle issues. And part of it is I believe the legislature's job is not to abdicate our responsibility to make laws and then have the courts try and interpret what we make. So we helped negotiate a deal between landowners and the city of Kaiser through this committee, literally right there, over a condemnation. They settled. We dropped the bill. We helped negotiate a deal in the big thing, the whole Washington County land use map. We helped reach an out-of-court settlement between parties that then was codified by the legislature. So I'm not afraid to get involved in forced conversations and try and get settlements functionally, because I don't really think that's what the courts are there for, really. we should make policy and use the tools we have available. I'm elected, and my job is to try and promote the best interest of the state, which means trying to find a deal between people, not waste a ton of money on lawyers. No offense to either of you, but I'm not one, and I hate paying either of them. So I would prefer we solve this. With that, I got to go upstairs and let the lawyers run this thing.
That's something at least Representative Hellman and I definitely agree on, is lawyers are a very useful part of the process. Should be compensated highly, I guess. I'm just teasing. That's Representative Clem is right. I really do believe this committee could be the place where we try to give you the political balance, because I have heard from many constituents, both of Representative Huffman and myself, and from Representative Wisnett, that they feel powerless, that there is it's like they see what happened to timber. The sage grouse threats. I mean, so I just say this: to the extent we can create an even playing field and facilitate communication that is legitimate, I'm glad our chairman committed that, because I think that's what you need. Now, that being said, I'm not backing off my statement that I believe litigation has become, under ESA, a weapon. And I still believe it, and I hope I'm proven wrong.
Representative Witt has a question.
I have a statement, and then it's reflective of many questions that I have. Mr. Chairman, I thank you. I am lost in that I feel like I have walked into this discussion, or in this instance, this litigation, and since I have no background on it, what I know is we have three reservoirs. We have the Deschutes River Basin. We have a spotted frog, and people are now in the courts, and all of which sounds ominous to me, because natural resources and going to court, I have much of my life experienced bad things coming out of that kind of mix. But I am left trying to figure out here what's going on. Why the litigation? Are we litigating over reservoirs, the spotted frog, the Deschutes River? I don't know what the interplay is here, because we weren't given, at least I wasn't given the background, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. How do we end up in the courts here, and what are we in the court about?
Thank you, Representative Witt. The chair leaned over and told me that he would like to have a subsequent meeting in which we can learn more about this litigation and perhaps have some more of the parties come and give us their perspective. So he's, I think, planning on that.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, just so that I can I can lower my level of frustration right at the present, there's an assumption here that the spotted frog is imperiled because of the reservoirs, or what's going on? Just so that I have a very elementary understanding of what the problem is here at stake.
I think the commission.
I can kind of give you a quick one on it. Basically, what the lawsuit is about the frog, and the problem with and it gets down to the flow in the river. So in the wintertime, they store water and lower the flow in the stream.
Okay.
So that's where the frog is having its problem, is mainly when the water flow slows down, and so the people litigating would like to see that stream flow higher through the winter months. That causes the lack of being able to store the water for the irrigators. Some of the solutions is, well, let the water run down the river and store it below the frog habitat, but building new reservoirs and that type of thing costs money, but at the same time, the irrigation districts have been piping canals and lining canals, and which lowers the loss of water, which puts it back into the stream. So the stream flows are higher, but that's basically the nuts and bolts of it. It gets down to when they close the reservoir off to store the water in the winter months, that slows the flow down from there.
Commissioner Fordy, thank you so much for that explanation.
You're welcome.
You have no idea, sir, how frustrating it is to sit here and hear about problems and wonder what's really going on here. So now, thank you. That is exceedingly helpful, sir. I appreciate that.
No, the commissioner did a nice job of describing that. If I could just add that, you know, there's a long history of irrigated agriculture in the Deschutes Basin. There's also a long history of you know, recreation and efforts to make sure that we're preserving the habitat and the ecology of the Deschutes Basin. And so while the commissioner's description is exactly right as it you know, pertains to this lawsuit and the issue of the spotted frog, I think you can place this in a broader context of disputes over how the water is being used. And as Representative Helm referenced, there's other competing environmental interests as well, fish species, as well as you know, the economic and social and community impacts.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
We're all needing to go to caucus right now, so
can I just make one?
Yes, please, and then we'll
conclude. A little bit on the districts are already cooperating to help the spotted frog during the spring breeding. So a lot of these things are ongoing right now. Secondly, I want to give a little perspective to Water Watch. In the Bend Bulletin, a month ago, the executive director of Water Watch was asked some questions and about this, and his comments were in the paper, "We're not trying to take any irrigation water away from anybody." That is totally false. Because if they were to get what they're asking for, we cease to exist. Literally, we're done. So it couldn't be any more serious. But thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you again for coming. We appreciate your testimony here.
Appreciate you guys looking at this and working with it. It is a big issue, and if we could get everybody back to where they need to be, I think we could find a solution.
Mm-hmm. Glad to hear it. With that, we had one other item on our agenda today, but we've run out of time, and the we were going to have a discussion on the need for independent research in groundwater management in the Upper Deschutes Basin from and John Huddle was scheduled to speak with us. We're going to reschedule that discussion for one of our for our Monday meeting, if you're interested. And with that, I'm going to close the hearing. Thanks for coming.